insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفدا. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Welcome to another of our programs. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables us to have a better understanding of more of His verses, inshaAllah. First, let's hear the verses.
أَمْ تُرِيدُونَ أَن تَسْأَلُوا رَسُولَكُمْ كَمَا سُئِلَ مُوسَى مِن قَبْلِ وَمَن يَتَبَدَّلِ الْكُفْرَ بِالْإِيمَانِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ وَدَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَوْ يَرُدُّونَكُمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِكُمْ كُفَّارًا حَسَدًا مِّنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الْحَقُّ فَاعْفُوا وَاصْفَحُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ.
We finished the discussion in verses 106 and 107, which were regarding the issue of naskh. We arrived at verse 108, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions another point that is in a way related to these previous verses that have been dealing with the issue of the Jews and the Jewish tribes, that at that time were the ones that were directly addressed with these verses were those living outside of Medina. The verse says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم أم تريدون أن تسألوا رسولكم كما سئل موسى من قبل. Would you question your apostle as Moses was questioned formerly? وَمَنْ يَتَبَدَّلِ الْكُفْرَ بِالْإِيمَانِ فَقَدْ ظَلَّ سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ. Whoever changes faith for unfaith certainly strays from the right path. The verse is addressing the Muslims at this point. As narration goes, and it's apparent from the verse, some of the Muslims came to the Prophet and started asking for things that were not logical. They started asking for things that were not really questions in the sense that they wanted certain things clarified. It was actually not even a question. What they came to the Prophet for was they started asking him for things that were illogical to ask for. They started asking for miracles that were illogical to ask for. In the verses that dealt with the stories of Bani Israel, we went over a number of the instances where Bani Israel was asking for from their prophet things that were completely illogical. One of the examples was that they wanted to see God with their eyes. One of the issues that the Jewish people asked their prophet and they wanted from their prophet was once they passed the Nile River, after seeing all of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that last one being an amazing one of the river that has so much water in it that has been called the sea, was opened and it was like walls were holding back water and they passed through that. Once they're out of there, they cross the river, they continue their journey. They reach a people that are worshipping idols. They ask their prophet to give them an idol to worship. How much more illogical could you get? All the teachings of your prophet have been that God cannot be seen. God is not an idol. God is not stones and wood or anything like that. You cannot make something and worship it. After seeing all the signs that that is true, what the prophet is saying is right, then you turn back and you ask for something ridiculous like that. The other examples that... There are many different examples that Jewish people did that. Another example was when the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the Jewish tribes to close to the city, Jerusalem, that they were supposed to be entering, and they were commanded that they need to fight. They said, "We'll stay back here. You and your Lord go and fight." So they're asking their prophets, or their prophet at that point, Prophet Moses, for things that were completely illogical. Now the Muslims, after the Prophet has moved to Medina, some of the Muslims that have already accepted the message, they start asking questions or asking him for favors, similar to what the Prophet Moses was addressed with by Bani Israel. So the verse says, are you trying to ask things like the questions or the favors that people of Bani Israel were asking their prophet, Prophet Moses? This is like becoming kafir. Why would you ask? I mean, in narrations, some of the questions have been, some of what was asked by those people from the prophet has been mentioned. Like they were asking for like weird types of miracles, and already up to that point, the people had already seen enough miracles to believe the prophet. At that point, these miracles that were being asked by the people were no longer sincerely to see the truth and to realize what the truth regarding the prophet is. There's a difference between a question that is raised for better understanding something, for clarifying a point that is mentioned by a prophet. That is not only not bad, and it's not only good to ask to clarify something that is mentioned by a prophet or an imam. We have a hadith that say, an interesting one tells us that the imam told his companion, "Innama يَهْلِكُ النَّاسِ لِأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَسْأَلُونَ." People are going to be destroyed in the hereafter because they did not ask. Asking is necessary. When we have a point that is not clear in our mind, we don't understand it, we have to ask the question, could you please explain further? Could you clarify that? I don't know this ruling, or I don't know this issue. I would like to know it. Could I be explained, please? This is not only not bad, it's actually great, and it's actually necessary. We've got to do that. The questions are bad that are not really being asked in order to clarify an issue. They're being asked out of not believing or disbelief, and that's why the verse says, "وَمَن يَتَبَدَّلِ الْكُفْرَ بِالْإِيمَانِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ." The questions or what you're asking for now at this point, they're no longer to clarify the truth for yourselves. They are to actually try to create some sort of doubt in your mind. You don't want to follow the prophet anymore. You feel it being a burden. You want to justify it for yourself, so you come and ask these weird questions, or you ask for things that you think that the prophet cannot do, so that you can justify for yourself that this is not the prophet of God. So basically, these people wanted to justify for themselves and to think for themselves that this is not the prophet, all right, after having believed in him. So this is starting to look like, starting to become rejecting the prophethood of the prophet and the message that he's bringing after having accepted it. So the verse warns them, look, what you're asking for is what the people of Bani Israel, which we've been discussing, the verses have said up to this point. You're asking things that Bani Israel has asked their prophet, which they were a deviant group. Be careful. But being warned, وَمَنْ يَتَبَدَّلِ الْكُفْرَ بِالْإِيمَانِ فَقَدْ ظَلَّ سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ. Now I want to mention a practical issue regarding what is mentioned in this verse. And that is, brothers and sisters, we should be careful of questions that we raise and also we hear others raise regarding the religion. If you, now I hope, inshallah, none of the brothers and sisters are raising questions regarding the religion in this way, that they're trying to actually cause doubt. They're not trying to clarify, but they're trying to cause doubt in their own minds and other people's minds regarding something or a concept that's in the religion. But we should realize that some people, even some Muslims, do raise questions regarding issues, not for the purpose of answering or not for the purpose of clarifying the issue, but for the purpose of causing doubts. Like some people, they don't find it easy to practice the law of hijab in the West, for example. It is difficult for them. It is more difficult to practice hijab in the West compared to some of the Eastern countries, some of the Muslim countries. However, it is not the way or as difficult as they put it. In any case, they don't feel like practicing the law of hijab. Instead of accepting it and sometimes falling short in practicing it, they actually, to satisfy their own personal ego in thinking that they're not going against the religion, they start creating doubts as that being part of the religion. Now, this is only an example. There's other examples as well. Be careful. If you hear someone raising doubts regarding something that you previously knew of Islam, don't just jump to that and start listening to it and start saying, yeah, you know, that's really a question. The reason why I say that is because that could cause doubts in our beliefs. As I said, there's no problem at all with clarification and asking for clarification. But some of the ways that these doubts are mentioned, they're mentioned, as I said, like in a form of a doubt. The language that is used is such that it puts down the concept. It makes you start to dislike the concept that you previously knew of Islam. So it could be what you actually believed in before hearing the argument that you just heard. It could be that that's not actually part of Islam. Yes, there is that possibility. But it is also a possibility that that is part of Islam and you don't know that. So before condemning it and before starting to think that this is backwards or anything like that and starting to listen to these people, go and try to clarify it. Don't raise the doubt, but start to ask why. Or is this part of the religion? How much proof do we have for that? And could someone explain why? And the likes of that. Inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to be more practicing and more understanding of our religion. Inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Subhanaka ya man la sharika lahu. Subhanaka ya man la sharika lahu. Subhanaka ya man la sharika lahu. سبحانك يا من لا شريك له سبحانك يا من لا شريك له سبحانك يا من لا شريك له سبحانك